Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to worship with all of you here in person and also joining us online on this sixth Sunday after Epiphany in our church season. It's also known as Transfiguration Sunday. Let's say you need a flashlight, and behold, you find one. And it does not work. It has batteries, but the batteries are dead. You have been given faith in Jesus, your end of life on this earth comes, but it's not in heaven that you end up in. What happened? Your faith had died. Neither situation is a good one. One comes with devastating consequences. Now, we don't have to end up with dead batteries and a flashlight. And we also don't have to end up with dead faith while here on this earth. Which then leads to our focus this morning in our worship. And as we worship our great God, we do so first of all by hearing the voices of our children sing praises to our God. We worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So on this Super Bowl Sunday, a slight audible, direct your attention to page 3 as we continue with the invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
O Lord,
keep your ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words with thanks and praise. For the Lord is good,
and his love endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We sing the hymn, Christ the Word of God Incarnate. The words are on the next page. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion,
have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, before the suffering and death of your one and only Son, you revealed his glory on the holy mountain. Grant that we who bear his cross on earth may behold by faith the light of his heavenly glory and so be changed into his likeness.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God.
Oh God, my joy.
On this Transfiguration Sunday, we are reminded of the glory that our God has, and also the fact that nothing is impossible with Him, including, as we hear in our first reading, a faithful prophet taken to heaven in an unusual way. 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is the light that we need. Unfortunately, the world remains blind to him. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made his salvation known
and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp.
With the harp and the sound of singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
You will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in equity.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 9th chapter, where we see Jesus take steps to prepare for what is coming. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd ask, are there some children who want to come forward for a children's devotion? Any takers? All right, we got some takers. All right. Just have a seat right up here. Come on up. Now you're on the hot seat. You can't leave until you answer three questions correctly. Am I kidding? Maybe. Huh? All right, how'd you get to church today? A car, right? And some important features of a car include a battery. And if the battery's not working, what do you think's going to happen? Yeah, you can't go to church or anywhere, right? You know, so what do you need to get that battery, that car working again? What do you need?
Gasoline.
Oh, you need gasoline, not on the battery. What else could you use? All right, I need some help. Can you help me pull these out? Can you pull those out? There you go. Pull. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what are those? Yeah, chargers. You can call them that. They're called jumper cables, right? Now you hook one end to the dead battery, and you hook one end to a good battery. So hopefully you got some friends your parents can call, right, to get a good battery. Maybe they have another car, right? And so you hook these up. You just want to hold those for a second. Oh, careful. No, I'm just kidding. All right, you want to hold those for a second? You feel the charge? No, okay, that's good. Right, but that's, if you would hook up a dead battery to a live battery, you're the dead battery right now, and you're gonna bring him back to life, right? So, okay, here you go. You got the jumper cables. Well, that doesn't work for our soul, because the Bible reminds us that when we're born, even before that, right, we're dead to God, and we can't bring ourselves to life. Just like that dead battery can't bring that car back to life. It needs the jumper cables. God has given us the jumper cables we need to be alive with God, and then to keep that battery in good condition. Right? It needs to be maintained. And so to keep our relationship with God through Jesus going, we need to maintain that, to take care of it. And God's given it the Bible for both, to jumpstart us in our relationship with God, to get us alive with him, and to keep us alive. He uses the Bible. That's why we worship. So we sing hymns which have the Word of God in it and feed us and keep us alive. And then we hear the readings from the Bible as well. And so how important this book is for everyday life. Just as those jumper cables are important when your battery's dead, even more so this is important to keep us alive in Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again, and one day will take us to be with him in heaven. In the meantime, he says, go and live for him by loving him and loving one another. Let's pray about that. Father in heaven, we thank you for earthly jumper cables to help get a dead battery going in a car. But more importantly, we thank you for your word, which gets our heart going. Through your word, keep us alive in you. And then help us show that we are alive by loving you in worship and doing the things that you want us to do, by loving one another, being kind and also just helpful to others. So thank you, Jesus, for making us alive and keeping us alive in you. Thank you for your word. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up. And we're going to continue with the singing of the next hymn as printed. Thanks for holding on to those. Grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance, and this from God our Father, and also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, turning back to these words from 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You're all set for that big trip, a vacation that has been in the planning for at least 3 years. All the gear has been packed into the vehicle, and all you need to now do now is just start driving. What comes next is something that's pretty routine. Turn the key or push the start button, which you do, and then nothing. You try again. Same thing. You hear a clicking noise, and then it goes away. You try again. You hear that clicking noise, and it goes away. You try another time. Nothing. You stay calm. Not really. Because you know what the matter is and what needs to happen next. Of course, better to happen in your driveway than in the middle of who knows where in the dark of the night at a rest area with a sign that says, "Watch out for rattlesnakes." Bright window there. Well, you make some phone calls. Finally, you find somebody who is able to make the time to come over and with jumper cables get your vehicle going. A couple hours later, you find your way onto the store to have a new battery installed. And now on the road you go. For those of us with vehicles, how often do we think of the battery in our vehicle? And when is the last time that you have changed out your battery? This isn't a mechanic lesson, but at the same time, we'll think of it more often than if we had that above experience happen to us, something similar. We'll transition to the words before us from Scripture. How often are people going through this life not giving thought to the jump start that our soul needs in order to have the life it needs? I mean, there's not even a click in our favor by nature. But there is a way for our soul, for our inner being to come to life. And that leads us then to the focus before us. As the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words for our benefit then and still today. The focus being that this gospel, that he talks about, this gospel lights up our life. This gospel is able to light up our life because it is reality and truth. Reality and truth we need. And at the heart of that reality and truth, at the heart of this gospel, is Jesus and his salvation. The salvation that has come with the forgiveness of sins. The fact that Jesus won the forgiveness of sins by his death on the cross is an objective fact. It's real. It's truth. It doesn't depend on if people believe it happened or not, or if it happened in its entirety or not, complete forgiveness. God says, this is how forgiveness is to be won between human beings and myself. And Jesus did what was necessary. He died on that cross, declared it is finished, and rose again from the dead to assure us that his death was victorious. Fact. But on the way to accomplishing that fact, Jesus receives some much-needed strength and encouragement. I mean, Jesus is God, always has been, always will be. And through the incarnation, the birth we celebrate at Christmas took on human flesh. And while we can't all completely rationalize in our mind how Jesus can be both God and man in one person, we recognize it and believe it to be true by the grace of God and the Spirit working in us, because this is what God's Word says. As man, knowing that you're about to die, was it just an easy thing for Jesus because he is God? He knew he had to die. He knew there was no other way. But still, it was not an easy road for him. And his father knew this. And so his father gives him this much needed encouragement on that Mount of Transfiguration, where three of his disciples are able to see the glory of God, Jesus, before their very eyes, and then able to see Moses and Elijah. What a sight! So the Father not only encouraged Jesus, but also the disciples, who couldn't really fathom all that was going on, but later would be able to process it. But for Jesus, this is what he needed. To finish the journey to the cross. And the Father's reminder that, yes, this is my Son. Listen to him. We still need that reminder that this is his Son. Listen to him. He is the one who has gained our salvation. At the heart of that, the forgiveness of sins. And then with that, then, the gift of heaven. Heaven is a reality. Heaven is truth, which then also means the opposite of heaven is reality and truth. But people don't want to speak of that, so let's try to deny that reality. Well, if you think we're living in hell now, on some days, you haven't seen anything yet or experienced it. And God doesn't want you to, nor do we, your fellow human beings. But it doesn't have to end up that way, because Jesus, again, has secured for us forgiveness of sins, and with that then comes the gift of heaven. Why doesn't everybody then enjoy what Jesus has gained for us, forgiveness of sins and looking forward to the gift of heaven? Well, the Lord addresses that through the Apostle Paul, because the gospel, unfortunately, is veiled. It's not ours automatically, and it's not something that we come up with. And this is why some people struggle with the gospel too. I mean, again, if the Bible were written truly by human beings without inspiration, the message of salvation would focus on what we have to do, work righteousness. We have to get ourselves right with God, or we have to start a relationship with God. But the Bible reminds us we can't, because we're dead. That car's not going anywhere, not even a click. It's only by the grace of God that we can get going. But how many tragically believe that it's by what they have to do? And so the Apostle Paul is also saddened, as we are saddened, that tragically not everyone will be saved, because people can reject what God has made available to them through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we kind of reject it also by just getting comfortable in this life. We get distracted by the things of this world and of this life and the careers that we want to pursue. And then we pursue that career, and then we retire. And then what else are we pursuing? How can we perfect our golf game? And then we can't do that either after a while. What are we living for? It's not that we can't have that career or that excellent golf game or whatever it might be, but not at the price of our relationship with Jesus. How many people do you know are distracted, have the wrong focus in this life, and the gospel is veiled to them? And you know who also tries to keep that veil over them? Paul mentions that too. Satan, the god of this world. People bow down to Satan, whether they admit it or not. If you're not bowing down to the God of heaven and earth, you're bowing down to Satan, a created being who has been allowed to wreak havoc, but also has been conquered. The Lord reminds us, though, in the meantime, while on this earth, Satan is good at his craft. So good, in fact, that it seems that most days sin is winning. Well, there's a correlation there too, right? The more this world gets distracted and turns away from Jesus and the Word of God, well, what's going to fill that void? Sin and self-centeredness. Satan and the unbelieving world. With the misplaced priorities. That old adage is still out there. The one with the most toys wins. Wins what? As King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, you can't take it with you. You leave it to someone else who doesn't appreciate it. And all that stuff ends up rusting or decaying. It's all going to burn up on the last day. Even within the church, the veil too often is placed over the gospel. Instead of keeping Jesus Christ front and center, there's a message of work righteousness or be all that you can be. Live your good life now. Drink all this blessed holy water and everything, all your problems will go away. And people are searching for truth and answers, and so they fall for it. Jesus warns us about the wolves in sheep's clothing. He warns us about Satan and how his path leads to destruction. How those who are not connected to Jesus while on this earth already stand condemned before him. In John 3:17, we are reminded of those who are still alive and don't believe stand condemned. But while they're still alive, that status can change. And so then the verse before, that reminder of the gospel in a nutshell, how God so loved the world that he did something to save the world. He sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We don't have to stand condemned now and for eternity. This gospel then about Jesus and the forgiveness and the heaven that he's won for us, that lights up our life. It's the reality and the truth that we need. And it's the truth and the reality and the gospel that needs to keep our focus and attention. And so we're not here to prop up ourselves or to proclaim ourselves, but rather, as Paul said, we're here to prop up and proclaim Christ. We are called to believe in him and live in him and for him. Recognizing the fact that we don't convert ourselves, rather God is the one who converts us. And we don't have the power to convert others. We are to plant the seeds of the gospel, but the growth, it taking root, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the jumper cables he uses to get people started in a relationship with him is the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. And so that means of grace and the message of salvation, those, dear friends, are part of this church's core values for good reason. And why we celebrate ministry today, and really every day and Sunday should be a celebration of ministry. And a holding on to those core values of the doctrine of justification, we are declared not guilty before God through what he has done, not what we can do. And then we hold front and center the means of grace by which God plugs us into himself and keeps us plugged in. If we hear otherwise in the pews or in the radio or on the TV or in conversations, the red flag should go up. Thus, the importance of meditating on the word of our Lord so that we can recognize those red flags. To be like the psalmist of Psalm 119 who asked the Lord to help him meditate on the word of the Lord and to teach him the ways of the Lord and to direct his paths in the ways of the Lord. That psalmist's prayer is to be our prayer. The work of the church is not about propping up ourselves or who gets credit or what. It's about propping up Christ and boasting about He who is Lord. This gospel, together with the Word of God, gives our life direction and purpose. For as the Apostle Paul points out, we know who Jesus is by the grace of God, that He is true God and true man, who came to this earth to rescue us from ourselves, from our sins, and to deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We know the value of Jesus in our own life, the light that He gives our life, and the light that we are to shine unto others. And so we look back to God's word for that clear direction. In 1 John, remember this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. We human beings put the burden on ourselves and on others. God has lifted those burdens by keeping the focus on Jesus. And so the love of Christ compels us to go back to the word yet again in Psalm 119 again. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Or Jesus in Matthew 22 is recorded of saying, love the Lord your God, not just a little bit, with your whole heart and your soul and your mind and all your strength. Love God and love your neighbor. No excuses. Be kind and compassionate and patient and forgiving. And then as you do that, reveal the light that has lit up your life to them. And so not just do as I say, but also do as I do. We are to be a model of the light. We are to be refreshing around others, people that they want to be around, a welcome sight. If we don't find joy in our life, this is not happiness, but joy in our life, what message are we sending to those around us? What are we saying about the gospel and the value of Jesus if we're not living the joy even in spite of the trials? We who have received light, as someone once said, cannot help but reflect that light. And so one of our prayers continues to be, God, help people see You as they talk and see us. This is an individual effort, and it's also a collective effort. As much as it depends on us, how can we lessen the number who will end up in hell and increase the number for heaven? Prayers. His will be done. That His gospel take root in the hearts of others. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, Lord. Continue to establish it in my own heart and establish it in the hearts of others. Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities to let the light of Jesus shine through me as I talk to others. And through our thank offerings as we support local ministry here, and also through our congregation mission offerings as we support mission efforts throughout the world. All with the goal of lessening that number by God's grace. And then the school we operate as well. Another way to nurture the faith and share the faith that we have by the grace of God. And then just to talk up what we're doing at church and conversations. Like the celebration of ministry Sunday. While you're playing cards. Hey, by the way, this last Sunday, we did this celebration of Sunday. They made us walk through the gym and, you know, then they had some coffee, and it wasn't bad coffee. And then we got to pick up some brochures and some magnets, and then we get, you know, just got to talk about our ministry. And that's really where you want to get them to going. What about this ministry? It's not just a social club. It's about letting the light of Christ shine through us and in us. So what are we talking up day to day with our family and friends? God, help us talk up the celebration, the victories. Not that we have won, but the victory and victories that Jesus has won on our behalf and has given to us and has enabled us to share with others so that they too can have the joys of that victory. God, help us then keep that light of the gospel in us shining brightly. And with his God-given jumper cables, the means of grace, that will happen. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us join now together in a confession of our Christian faith with the words that are printed in the middle of page 9.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray, Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us each day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them the rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, and may there be peace, where there is hatred, let it be healed, where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Lord, continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week. Also, Lord, refresh the body and mind of Linda Detmer, who has been in need of medical attention and remains in the hospital. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Lord, as we mourn the death of Reverend Tom Frontsman, a former pastor here, an ongoing friend to countless, continue to be with his wife Jane and the entire Frontsman family. And with all who mourn his passing from this life to the next. While there is mourning, through Jesus, there is also tears of joy. Joy for him. And what he now has as promised. And what we look forward to in good time. While we know death could come at any time for us, young or old, it still hurts when it happens. So thank you for the peace and the hope you alone have to offer the family and us. Bless the words they and we speak in testimony of your grace and hope, which sustains us through this life. Lord, now hear us as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever ways is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. we pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Sometimes I'm not sure where that comes from, but two faithful legends at St. Mark's. Enjoying what they preached about. So God be praised. We celebrate that, and we celebrate the ministry that God has given to us here at St. Mark's. That we're able still to continue this ministry that began in 65, even before Sunrise Mall was here, we were here. So what a blessing, right, that we're still here and able to be vibrant and active. And so we want to celebrate that intentionally today. So at 9:30, everybody's welcome back to come in for a special presentation. And then after about 20 minutes of that presentation, then to walk around the multi-purpose center and see what the boards and areas of ministry are up to and what you can pray about as you connect with what they're up to and maybe how you can be involved in those areas of ministry as we continue to nurture one another in the faith and then also reach out to those who are still veiled to the gospel. Starting on Monday, we'll be for 3 weeks offering three sessions of grief share. So for those here in the church or in the community who are suffering from some type of grief, loss, death in the family, there's an opportunity. We're just doing an introduction grief share opportunity. Three Mondays at 6:30. We'll hold those in the Luther room. This coming Wednesday, the Lenten season begins, Ash Wednesday, 6:30 worship service with Holy Communion. We will be serving a meal at 5:30 in our multi-purpose center. And then just see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school during the weeks and months ahead. If we have the Wells connection, we'll watch that right now to see the work that we do together as a church body.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. The training that Wells pastors receive before going out to serve God's people is extensive, and for good reason. Most of us know the traditional way of becoming a Wells pastor through Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. But did you know that there is another route to becoming a Wells pastor as well? It's called the Pastoral Studies Institute.
This Wells Church in Orange County, California, recently hosted a very special and unique installation service, a trilingual installation service in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese.
Cầu Chúa ban phước cho quý ông bà anh chị em.
Goosebumps. I still get goosebumps. It was amazing.
The members knew for years that the harvest field in their area was ripe in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. All they needed were the right pastors to lead these efforts.
It was like Vietnamese, English, and Spanish. Could we do all three here? Oh my goodness. And it was like everyone just thought, that's crazy.
So they thought. That is, until they learned that Pastor Trung and Pastor Hagen,
Juguete favorito en tu casa,
would both be assigned here from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Even though these two Wells pastors were ordained together and graduated from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary together, they did not actually study together. They studied in the two programs that Wells offers for becoming a pastor in our synod.
I suppose another option would be that this is the apodicis. We talked about how it can...
The first route, which Pastor Hagen took, is the traditional route, studying first at Martin Luther College and then at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Throughout his ministerial education, Pastor Hagen was provided opportunities to study Spanish, in addition to the required Greek and Hebrew.
It's encouraging to see that the seminary is producing a lot more opportunities and a lot more guys that are capable of sharing the gospel, not only in English, but at least in Spanish and maybe other languages.
So then he's kind of he discusses that whole thing.
The second route for becoming a Wells pastor is the Pastoral Studies Institute, or PSI. This is the program in which Pastor Trung studied.
We work with congregations as they work into their community and they find different people groups. And these people groups, whether they're from China or Pakistan or Nepal, Vietnam, wherever, they end up becoming members of their congregation. And usually what happens is a leader rises up out of that congregation, and hopefully the pastor will approach him and say, "Hey, have you ever thought about being a pastor to your people group?"
This begins a multi-year process in which a man can receive pastoral training through visiting PSI seminary professors without needing to leave his current job or uproot his family and move to Martin Luther College or Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
The quality of education that the men receive off campus is exactly the same par and level that you would receive at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
Because our synod offers these two programs of study to become a Wells pastor, we can share Christ's love with a wider variety of people.
The fact that we got a fresh grad speak Spanish and a Vietnamese speaking person in the same year, that's crazy. You can't plan for that. That's totally the work of God.
I think everybody's eyes have been opened to that idea that we're preparing the church, the campus, and everything for three congregations, not just us like it used to be. It is scary to do it, but the rewards are well beyond anything we could have imagined.
If we're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the only way that we're going to be able to do it is by being able to do it in their native language.
Jesus just simply loves souls. He does not see skin color. What he sees is souls. What he doesn't hear is different languages. What he sees is a soul that he died for.
If your congregation is situated in or near a community that speaks a language other than English, learn about how you might be able to reach out to them at wells.net/jointmissions.